Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
Week's irate tireless minority, which is shaking my head at Milwaukee. Now, for those who may not be aware, I live in Wisconsin. I grew up in Wisconsin. I've lived in Wisconsin all my life. For the early part of my life, I lived in Madison, which is not the real world for anyone outside the state. One of our mayors famously called it 30 square miles surrounded by reality. I like to refer to it as university land surrounded by la la land, because it is absolutely chock full of the sort of progressives who think that by concentrating and by loving people, people are going to be nice to you. And as I learned throughout my life, just because you're nice to somebody else does not mean they will be nice to you. That's a big fat lie. People will be mean, and they'll be mean for reasons entirely their own. But just to give people outside of the state an idea of what's going on in Milwaukee and the prevailing attitudes as I see them in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, most people, hardworking, decent people, they're willing to have their opinions and allow you to have yours as long as they don't deviate from admiring the Packers, and that's worse the closer you get to Green Bay, by the way. In Green Bay, it must be like an almost religion. I'm in Sheboygan County, and it's close to religion here. The other thing to know is that in Sheboygan County particularly, the Sheboygan County Fairgrounds was used as a German prisoner of war camp during World War II. And there are a high population of Germans settled in the Sheboygan area and in Wisconsin in general, and Milwaukee's no exception. Part of what goes along with being German is, one, a belief that you're better than other people, and that's not so apparent in Wisconsin, but two, is a work ethic that says, I will do my job well because my name is on it. And if there is something done at my job that is not up to my specifications, never mind the employers, if I have created something that's shoddy, I don't want it out there. And that's a work ethic that serves this area well because there's a lot of manufacturing on the eastern side of Wisconsin here. And employers like to have employees who will say, I want this to look good because my name is on it. Now, that's fading out as we move into the future and as we get more immigrants who don't share that work ethic and who somehow manage to avoid picking it up, although there has been in the past and still remains quite a bit of a heavy shame factor that I would be ashamed to put out work looking like that. Why do you think you can do that? What's wrong with you that you don't want to make your work, which speaks of you, be the absolute best work that it can be? And there's a, also in Sheboygan County, there's a community called Kohler, which is, yes, associated with the Kohler business that does plumbing and generators and that sort of manufacturing. And I like to refer to Kohler as obsessive compulsive central of the United States, if not the world. These are people in whom that ethic, that work ethic, is not only strong, but almost a mental disorder. You want to see an ideal clean community, you go look, you go drive around Kohler for a while. But that is the culture of the region. And in Milwaukee, what you have is a clash of cultures. Now, Milwaukee is the largest city in Wisconsin. And Madison is another large city in Wisconsin, and it is the capital city. And I mentioned Madison and its culture and denial of reality, because in Milwaukee is where Madison and Sheboygan meet. And they do not blend gracefully. It does not blend gracefully to have people who think that by meditating on love and what have you, that it's all going to be for the best. Now, a goodly part of what's happening in Milwaukee is also due to the welfare system, the welfare culture. And I am going to attempt to play a little bit of a video by Bill Whittle. And it is an afterburner video from when PJ Media was still doing conservative stuff instead of the fluff they do now. And it's entitled Afterburner with Bill Whittle, Rich Man, Poor Man. YouTube channel is PJ Media. So I'm just going to play a couple minutes of that to explain what happens with the welfare mentality, and I've talked about this before, but I think he says it a little better. He's talking about an example in which some people, if they were given a gift and then found out that other people in the same situation were given a bigger gift, and that the condition being that everybody had to accept or nobody gets the gift, that the people with the lesser gift would refuse it just to put, you know, just out of spite, just out of nastiness. And he talks about his own experiences of being poor and how he got angry with his friends who had helped him when they would no longer help him. And here he's talking about when you get money as a gift. And I'm going to see if that'll work. And if it doesn't, you know, just bear with me. And Bigfoot, thanks for coming to the chat. Let me know if you can hear this, okay?
But most of us would understand it. When it's a gift, the size of the gift translates into the size of our worth, which is why the poor in America, by every measure, the richest poor people in the history of the world, and by a wide margin, are, generally speaking now, not filled with gratitude for the assistance they get, but rather with envy and hatred for those so-called fat cats who are paying for their food stamps and their subsidized housing. Have you ever once seen a person on assistance publicly thank the people whose extra work made that assistance possible? I haven't. Now, I'm afraid that this is the real poverty in America. It's a poverty of dependency and entitlement. Entire generations now, without any sense of control over their own destiny, stoked mostly by a Democratic Party whose full-time job it is to fan the flames of resentment and envy so that they can buy votes by promising people more of what their neighbor has worked for.
Okay, and that's a video from 2011, and I hope you could hear it, because Bigfoot is asleep in the chat room. Ah, he says, a little faint, but he can hear it. Excellent, thank you. And just for Mr. Whittle's sake, I will say that when our dad left us, because I was raised by a single parent, my mom was on welfare for a couple of years, and to those people whose extra work gave us that welfare, I say a big thank you. Now, here's the thing. My mom was ashamed to be on welfare. She didn't want to be on welfare. And when I was younger, I managed to buy myself a brand new bicycle. It was like the first brand new bicycle I'd ever had. I'd had hand-me-downs from other people, things that their kids had outgrown, but I had bought this. And the people in the neighborhood, of course, always know when you're on welfare. Everybody does. And they were resentful. that, you know, here I was with a brand new bike. They couldn't get a brand new bike for their kids, and they're resentful. But when I explained to them that I had worked to earn it, they turned around and they were very, very respectful of that. And that shapes a child, all of it. You know, being on welfare and having neighbors say, well, she's on welfare. That shapes a child. And then having them turn around and give you positive reinforcement because you worked to earn something, that's huge. See, what happens when the government takes over charity, which is an individual duty, is that the people who are forced to pay for this welfare don't get to choose the recipients. They don't get to have a say in who benefits from their money, and their money is taken from them without their permission. It's theft. It's government theft. And that degrades the character of the people who are giving the money because now they resent that charity, whereas otherwise they would be thankful to be in a position that they could give it freely. They would feel good. They would feel magnanimous. That would encourage the giving of more. But when the government takes money from you and gives it to people without so much as a buy your leave, then you feel resentful. And the people receiving it, now if my neighbor came over and brought us food because they knew we had none, we would be grateful. We would be grateful to that neighbor. We would shovel their walk, you know, just as a thank you. You know, we can't do much, but we can shovel your walk because we know you're getting older. We can mow your lawn because we know it's a chore. We can be thankful and have gratitude and do things for that neighbor. But when the government just gives it to you, well, they should give us more because we can't do all the things that our neighbors can do with this. And the funny thing is that when my mother was offered another part-time job because she had one, excuse me, but it wasn't enough to make ends meet. When she was offered another one, people advised her not to take it because then she would be making too much money to qualify for welfare. She took it, and we were no longer on welfare, and that was a good thing. It made us all feel better about ourselves. So, what you get is you get some people, a group of people who move into the same area because, you know, maybe they don't have something. They've come to Milwaukee looking for a job so that they can get a better life. Maybe that's how it starts. And they move in with people like themselves because that's where you are comfortable because you share a culture. And there have been studies done that show that when you have a hugely diverse neighborhood, it does not inspire trust of one's neighbors. Instead, it inspires mistrust. It makes people insecure because when you don't know if your neighbors share your values or when you know for sure that they do not, you become mistrustful of them because you don't know what they're going to do in any given situation. You don't know what they're supposed to do, and you don't know how to hold them accountable to their own culture or to their own cultural values. That's the value of having Christianity as a shared cultural value for the nation, because people can study the Bible and they can go to church and be instructed and know what people are supposed to be doing and how you are to hold them accountable between each other without government interference. And that's the role of religion in a society, really. And you want a good religion. And in the show notes, I have included a link to a short, short video, like 2 minutes long, by Oz Guinness, talking about how Christianity is the roots of America and how we are cutting ourselves off from our roots. And that's the seed of this sort of thing. Now, if these, you know, I'm about halfway through and I'm getting off on rabbit trails here, and I'm sure that you can get what I'm talking about. But in Milwaukee, you've got people who are poorer and who do not share the German, very German culture, at least that's how I refer to it, that says, I will do my work well because it's my work. And I want my work to say good things about me. And I know that that's not just a thing in Milwaukee. There are other parts of the nation where people do that. Absolutely there are. But I'm saying that here it's like over the top. And when you get somebody who maybe is not used to that sort of culture, competing against somebody who is used to that sort of culture and abides by it for a job, who are you going to hire as an employer? Are you going to hire the person who says, no, give me that back, I didn't do that right, that needs to be fixed? Or are you going to hire the person who's more likely to say, it's not perfect, but good enough, here you go? You're going to want to hire the person with the work ethic that says, I want it done right because I did it. And when you have a culture, two cultures, that clash like that, then guess who's not going to be employed? I don't know if this is what's happening in other communities like Ferguson or wherever, where things like this have blown up, but that's how it is here. So there is rampant unemployment in the black neighborhoods of Milwaukee, and there are you can get a house dirt cheap in some of those neighborhoods because they're just nasty places to live. And because the children are running amok. They do not have the examples of Christianity. They don't understand the point of Christianity. They think it's just a bunch of people being holier than thou, telling me how to live my life when I don't want to. Well, that is not Christianity at all. True Christianity is self-denial and sacrifice for the good of others. And that includes not being too embarrassed to tell somebody, hey, that's wrong. Hey, do you really want to be doing that? Hey, God disapproves of that kind of behavior. Do you really want to be making God, the creator of the universe, upset with you? Now, in politics, I talk about Mayor Barrett's role and what he could have done better, along with the media perfidy in once again engaging in selective reporting. Now, one of the things that Mayor Barrett did was, let's see if I can find that. Yes. On WISN, there's a video of Mayor Barrett's statement during the initial rioting where he says, get your sons and your daughters home. Text them, call them, grab them by the ear if you need to, and get them home. Do not leave them out on the street. And in fact, Milwaukee implemented a curfew, which tells you that this is mostly young people and teenagers that they think are out there engaging in this kind of behavior. And one hopes that's because they're saying to themselves, it can't possibly be adults because adults wouldn't be that stupid. At least that's how I'm thinking of it. So get your teenagers home. But when he says, go out and drag them in by the ear if possible, no. Do not tell people to go out and add more people to that mix, even if they're people of good, you know, of good character. And he also says in his video that he knows that there are a lot of good people. And in fact, the second night of rioting did not start, and there's a report on Rebel Media by Lauren Southern who says that all day long there were people out with doing their protesting, there were families and stuff, and it was all peaceful until it got late and the families went home, at which point the people who were left, who did not have to get up in the morning for whatever reason, decided that they were going to behave badly again. Swore at her and told her to, you know, she better get out of there. And that's shameful. You have got a reporter from another country there, and you're telling her, we're going to make it not safe for you. And in fact, there are other reports of them telling other reporters who happen to be white, you better get out of here or we're going to beat you up, and trying to pick their pockets and trying to assault them. There's a reporter who has covered some of the most sensitive areas in the world who left Milwaukee because he feared for his safety. This is a man who's practiced in knowing when his safety is threatened. Really, Milwaukee? And what are you rioting about? You are rioting because a black police officer shot a young black man who was running from the police and pointed a gun at the officer. Turns out later that he had a long rap sheet and the gun was stolen. But how's the officer to know that? He's not psychic. You seem to think that officers are saints. And in the Lauren Southern video, there's a young man saying, they're out to get us. They're trying to get us. They just want an excuse to shoot me. And I'm thinking, you are out there being violent, threatening reporters, burning down people's businesses, throwing rocks through the windows of police cars and injuring seriously one officer because he got a brick to the head when you threw it through his car window. And you're saying, oh, they're just looking for an excuse to shoot us. Well, when you act like that, I'm kind of thinking they have one. It's like that. This is not your business. You are standing up for a criminal thug. If you have a problem with the police, your first thing to do is to examine your own behavior. Is your neighborhood nasty? Is your neighborhood full of people doing drugs and committing crimes? Then guess what? The police are going to be a little touchier in your neighborhood because you've given them reason to. Now, the young man's father actually takes responsibility, the father of the young man who was killed, and he also points out that the black people are being used, and they are. You are being played, black people. You are being played by the media, and I'm going to come back to that in a few minutes if I have time. The father says, what are we going to do now? Everyone playing their part in this city, blaming the white guy or whatever, and we know what they're doing. I had to blame myself for a lot of things, too, because your hero is your dad, and I played a very big part in my family's role model for them. At least they had a role model. A bad one. Being on the street, doing things of the street life, entertaining, drug dealing, and pimping, and they're looking at their dad like he's doing all these things. I got out of jail 2 months ago, but I've been going back and forth in jail, and they see those things, so I'd like to apologize to my kids because this is the role model they look up to. When they see the wrong role model, this is what you get. I don't know when we're going to start moving. I've got to start with my kids, and we've got to change our ways to be better role models, and we've got to change ourselves. We've got to talk to them, put some sense into them. They're targeting us, but we know about it, so there's no reason to keep saying it's their fault. Oh. You play a part in it. If you know there's a reason, don't give it to the hand. Don't be going around with big guns. Don't be going around shooting each other and letting them shoot y'all, because that's just what they're doing, and they're out to destroy us, and we're falling for it. Yes, you are. Look up the Night of the Long Knives. You're being played. You're being used for the progressive agenda. Now, I generally don't like to do the whole conspiracy theory thing, but here's the thing. We've got, in the Trayvon Martin case, we've got the media only reporting part of the story and manipulating the story to make it be the story they want it to be rather than the story it was. They showed George Zimmerman not having a mark on him when actually he had been beaten up pretty badly. But they didn't show that. They did not tell the truth in order to gin up this sort of nonsense. And they're doing the same thing here. We've got the sister, who also learned from her dad's example, issuing a statement. And I've got an article, HeatStreet.com Politics, and the sister of an African-American suspect shot by Milwaukee police appears to have told a crowd of gathered protesters to stop burning down the neighborhood and instead take their violent behavior to the suburbs. actor Sherelle Smith in Milwaukee spoke in front of the media on Sunday afternoon, ostensibly to urge her fellow community members to take a more peaceful approach to the activism. At least that's how CNN and others reported it. They reported it as pleas to stop the destruction. And they've got a quote. Smith's sister, Sherelle Smith, condemned violence carried out in her brother's name, saying the community needs those businesses. But it appears after her comments went on, and I saw this video on Mark Dice's channel, even after most of the media turned off their cameras. Why? Because they've gotten their bit. They know what they want, the story they want to tell. What she actually says is, afterwards, don't, burning down bleep ain't going to help nothing. Y'all burning down bleep we need in our community. Take that bleep to the suburbs. Burn that bleep down. We need our weave. I don't wear it, but we need it. Really. And that's what she learned from her dad. At least she's learning from watching the other ones saying, hey, don't burn down the stuff in our neighborhood. Go take it to the people you're really upset about. It's unlikely they would do that here because Wisconsin has open carry and we have a whole lot of hunters. So if they go to the suburbs, there are likely to be quite a number of people who have firearms who will send them back, and not in one piece, maybe. So, although that could get quite nasty as well, if you do that, then it's going to be on because, boy, I tell you, there are people who are getting angry. And so the media is engaging in selective reporting to tell the stories they want. Now, I imagine that they toned this one down and made it seem like she's calling for police because they've got an African-American officer shooting an African-American youth who was a criminal pointing a gun at him. And there's no reason to riot for that. I think that this one is outside of the progressives' planned, staged riots. And that's going to happen when you do that sort of thing. Oh, planned, staged riots. Yeah, I know I sound like a conspiracy theorist. But you come to a point where you have to wonder. Don't you? In religion, what's the role of religion in this? The role of religion or lack of it? See, in religion, you don't get to go outside of the law unless the law is violating God's law. Oh, wait a minute. In Islam, you get to do anything you like as long as it promotes Islam. So maybe that's not all religions. No, that's right. That's Christianity and Judaism to some extent. Well, mostly. And I don't know that much about Hinduism from that sort of thing and B'nai B'rith or animism or that sort of thing. But as far as I'm aware, Christianity says you obey the law. You obey the law unless the law is telling you to do something that is contrary to God's law. And then you accept the consequences. You don't go on TV and whine about how, oh, it's religious persecution, I'm just doing this. You accept the consequences. You say, I'm not doing that. It violates God's law. Now, here in America, we get to say we have freedom of religion, and that gives us conscience, and we don't have to do what the law says because we have a religious exemption, which is okay in Christianity because Christianity is also not telling you to kill people. The young man's father takes responsibility. And just for Bill Whittle, even though I am not on welfare right now, because I was on welfare, I take this opportunity to say thank you. Thank you, Americans, for the help that you gave me and my family when we needed it. And we think we used it appropriately in getting off of that assistance as quickly as we could and by being decent citizens. So, Milwaukee, I am shaking my head at you. Bring your game up. Get yourself into church. Fathers, take care of your children. Bring up your work ethic. If you can't get a job with your work ethic, then you need a different one. If you can't get a job with your skills, then you need different ones. Start your own businesses. For goodness sakes, you're in America, land of opportunity. And with that, we are all an irate, tireless minority of one. We can all make a difference, and we are all supposed to get out there and make a a difference. Make it a good difference. Make your community better. Thanks for joining me, Bigfoot, and I have two guests in the chat room. And thanks to all those who listen in the archives.